Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
After some of the highest speaking, the highest utterance on Christ in the entire divine revelation contained in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, in the final chapter of Colossians, comes to this verse, verse 2. Persevere in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving. Nothing high or lofty, but a burden on his heart. It's interesting. It matches very closely his utterance in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, where he says simply, unceasingly pray. We conclude this life study of Colossians today on the matter of prayer after 48 programs, and we're happy to have Bob Danker with us for this wrap-up program. Bob, welcome back.
It's good to be back, Chris, and this is what I would say a very fitting way to conclude with prayer and with this matter of persevering in prayer. I believe we'll have a very, very helpful broadcast.
As I said, Bob, we're at our final program after nearly 10 weeks, 48 programs, 48 studies on this life study of Colossians. I wonder if there have been many 48 message expositions on such a book in all of the history of Christian exposition. This has been something, hasn't it?
It has been tremendous.
We began the life study of Colossians, Bob, with a promise really to our listeners that they would see a picture of Christ unlike any they had seen before. I believe before the Lord in his mercy that has been the case. It seems each day his light has shined. We've seen something new and fresh and really amazing. This very short book of only 4 chapters. And now we come to this matter, as you pointed out, Bob, on persevering prayer. I really pray that our listeners would not just say, oh gosh, another Christian program on prayer, and reach for the button on their car radio. There's really something here today for our listeners, isn't there?
There's something very, very helpful here, very practical. And you know, in a book like Colossians, where the revelation is so high, we do need a practical way to apply this revelation. And this way for us to apply everything that we see in the New Testament is prayer.
Bob, our first section of Witness Lee today, there is a vision here that none of God's people should miss. I really pray that we would all take the time, stop what we're doing, open our being, and let the Lord really speak here. Here's Witness Lee.
We come to the last point concerning our Christian work. We have seen the foregoing point, setting our mind on things above, to have the renewing of the new man. Then the peace of Christ will be arbitrating in us. And then the word of Christ will inhabit us. And then, I say, we will have a proper Christian work. After all these points, Paul gives us the last item. That is, not only to pray, but to persevere in prayer. To persevere means what? Don't let your idea, concept, opinion be changed. For eternity, you will still keep the same concept. I tell you, you and I need to persevere, but not in opinion, in our philosophy, in our concept. We all have to persevere in what? In prayer. Prayer is a battle. Prayer is to fight. And you have to know, in this universe, there are 2 parties, hostile one to another. And what are these 2 parties? God and Satan. Do you know the name, the meaning of the name Satan? Adversary. What does adversary mean? Enemy. What does enemy mean? One is trying to overthrow the other. This is the battle. A battle is going on. In the whole universe, here is a battle raging on between the 2 parties, between God and his adversary. Beside these 2 parties, there's another 3rd party. as God's chosen and redeemed people. We are the third party. The third party will decide who is going to win the battle. If God, Almighty One, cannot get the battle, God needs us. Why? There is a basic principle. God is the all-infinite creator. And he would not lower down his status to fight one of his creatures. He needs another creature to fight down the rebellious creature. Without us, he couldn't get the battle because he wouldn't fight. He has to keep his status. So there is such a need of us to fight the battle.
Bob, what we saw here, I think, was really a key to understanding a very key component of the divine economy. And that is that in the universe, there are three significant persons: God, Satan, his adversary, his enemy, and us, mankind. You know, in this section, Bob, he really answered an age-old question that I've asked, I think we've all wondered about at times, and that is, if God is all-powerful, almighty, why doesn't he personally just deal with Satan, his enemy, once for all?
That's right, Chris. Many people have asked that question. Perhaps everyone has asked that question as they have observed so much evil and negative things happening. Why doesn't God do something? But actually, if we read the Bible carefully, we'll find out that God created man with the specific intention that man would do this job. God, in a sense, as Witness Lee pointed out, is too great. He's so great that he wouldn't lower himself down and he wouldn't leave his status to come in and try to deal with Satan directly. Instead, he has commissioned us, in a real sense, to deal with his enemy. But in order to do this, he has to gain our cooperation. He has to gain the cooperation of man. Whoever gains man's cooperation is going to win this battle. Of course, we know God will never be defeated. So everywhere on this earth, God has people who are standing with him. And these are the people that Satan opposes the most. The more we are for God and for God's interests, the more we will be opposed by Satan. Why is that? Because Satan knows that God will use us to defeat him and ultimately to put him into the lake of fire, which is his ultimate destiny.
Yeah, and I think what you said here, Bob, struck something. We have to realize the context for such a word as persevere in prayer is this warfare, this battle. We're not talking about, well, I need to pray for a better job, I need to pray for a better home, I need to pray that I could get my bills paid. Of course, all those things are important, and we're not saying we shouldn't be praying for that. But this kind of prayer is a prayer that touches the center of the universe and this eternal struggle between God and Satan and man's part in it. So the call here is very high, isn't it?
It's very high, Chris. God wants us to pray for the accomplishing of his will on the earth and for the overthrow of his enemy to bring in his kingdom to this earth.
Bob, in this coming section, we're going to see that if something is touching our heart on this matter of prayer, it all needs to begin with a very specific prayer. And we'll find out about that. Here's Witness Lee.
The whole universe is under the influence of Satan against God's will. There is a kind of a current against God's will. And we are taking side with God. So the whole universe is against us, and especially against our prayer. We all have to persevere in what? Prayer.
Amen.
Now, you have to make a thorough, definite prayer. You must have such a prayer, definitely. Lord, I'm in business with you. I call the heavens and earth to be the witness that from right now, I will be a praying person. Desperately, Lord, I say this to you. I offer myself to you. Lord, accept me. Keep me in your prayer spirit. Lord, I believe I will forget this. I would even neglect this. But Lord, you would never sleep you will never be dull. Lord, you take care of me. Pray this way. If possible, cite certain time aside for prayer. For instance, every morning have 10 minutes set apart for nothing but prayer. You must consider your prayer is the top business. Whenever you are going to pray, take the phone off the hook. You are so busy in the king's business. You don't have any heart, any time to take any phone call. You have dedicated that time to the Lord, not for anything else. You must be so strong. And this is to persevere in prayer.
Bob, this was, I would say, a piercing word here about the kind of definite steps that we need to take if we do mean business with the Lord and desire to enter into the kind of fighting prayer that he is desperately looking for among his people. I can't help but think back to the last segment where we saw the battle that God and Satan are engaged in and the role that we have in this battle. Why does this kind of prayer, Bob, require such desperate and definite steps on our side if we're to prevail and persevere?
Chris, as our experience testifies, when we make a determination to pray and have the desire to pray, we find out that nearly everything in our environment and in our very being opposes us.
Right.
It's like swimming upstream when you have a swift current going against you. And it seems like Satan throws against our prayer nearly all of his arsenal of weapons, right?
Right.
So the first thing Witness Lee pointed out to us, and this is very important, is that we make a strong determination and a consecration with a definite prayer to the Lord saying, Lord, I want to be a praying person. Even if I forget to pray, you must not forget, and you must make me such a person. This is a very definite decision that we have made, indicating that we mean business with the Lord, and we intend to swim against this current of no prayer. Then we need to take other steps to ensure that we will be able to prevail or persevere. And that includes setting aside times
right
in the day to pray. And as Witness Lee so helpfully pointed out, to take the phone off the hook,
right,
to get all the distractions away from us. Then we have a chance to swim upstream against this current and to persevere in prayer.
Bob, I want to bring a couple of additional verses into the backdrop here as we prepare for this next section. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, we have this by the apostle. Having therefore a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all respects like us, yet without sin. Let us therefore come forward with boldness to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help. This is what awaits us if we really persevere in prayer, and this is exactly why God's adversary fights and struggles against us whenever we determine to pray. That's where we're headed in this next section.
When you pray, you are entering into the holiest of all. And here, in the holiest of all, you are approaching the throne of grace. By what way we come to the throne of grace? By the way of prayer. Then Paul says, here, at the throne of grace, we receive mercy, and we find grace to meet our timely need. When you pray, you approach the throne of grace. Mercy and grace will be flow like a full river into you. You will get the supply of mercy and grace.
Amen.
This is the reward. Whatever you pray, whether this will be answered by the Lord or not, that is secondary. The primary thing is that when you pray, you get the flow of grace. The flow of grace flows out of the throne of grace into your being. when we pray, we get into the fellowship with the Lord. It is by that time you will realize that you are really one spirit with the Lord. Always foregoing steps to settle man on things about, to have the renewing of the new man, to have Christ's peace arbitrating us, and to have the word of Christ inhabiting us. All these four steps, all needs our prayer to practice them. Not only so, to preserve all these things, we also need to pray. If you are a prayerful person, you would always utter thanks to the Lord. Then, at the same time, your speech, your word to persons will be always with grace. Out of your mouth, there will be always thanksgiving to God and grace to others. How do you know that you are a praying person? Just by these two things. Thanksgiving always comes out of your mouth to God, and grace always to others. To God, thanksgiving. To people, grace. Eventually, you will walk in wisdom, redeeming your time. All these are the issues of such a prayer life. You yourself will enjoy the Lord's presence. You will enjoy the Lord Himself. You will enjoy His fellowship. You will enjoy the instant and the constant anointing. And you will enjoy His smiling all the day long. Marvelous.
Well, Bob, here we are, stirred up, determined. We have gone to the Lord, we beseeched Him, and now we enter into this fighting prayer. And we may think the real victory is if He answers our prayer specifically, but we find out the real net gain is the time we spend in His presence. This is quite a different view, isn't it?
It is, Chris. We always focus on whether or not our prayer was answered. Brother Lee here did not say that this is unimportant. He simply said it's secondary.
Right.
There are more important things. When we pray, we enter into the Holy of Holies. We enter into the Lord's presence, and there the throne of grace is, and we receive grace, mercy, all kinds of heavenly and divine supplies to make us a certain kind of person, a thankful person toward God, and a person who always flows out grace to others, a person who is wise in the way that he uses his time. Wouldn't we like to be such people? What is the way to be such a person? Well, the only way is for us to pray and to persevere in prayer. The benefits, the rewards are great. And also, the Lord will answer our prayer.
Bob, this has been some journey with some scenery, heavenly scenery, that has been pointed out day after day. I feel so privileged to have been part of this and to have had many opportunities to share the microphone with you. We've saved a few minutes here at the end of our broadcast on this last program in Colossians because there's something else we'd like to talk about. And one of the things that many people don't realize is that in addition to many books that were really flowed out of our two brothers, Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, another component of their ministry was a love and an appreciation for the hymns of the Christian faith. We have a hymnal with a little more than 1,000 hymns in it, and this is a collection of some of the very, very best traditional hymns that have passed the test of history and the ages and have really been appreciated by the church as the real classics. In addition to those, there are about 250, something in that neighborhood, additional hymns that were composed by either Watchman Nee or Witness Lee. Let me read a quick quote, if I could. This is Charles Wesley, who, of course, we know, contributed so many classic hymns to the Christian faith. Wesley said, "The theology people believe is the theology they sing." And we have really found that to be the case. As we explore these hymns that have been provided by our brothers, Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, we really find the gems and the nuggets and the kernel of their ministry contained in these hymns. So about a year ago, we had the feeling before the Lord to begin to produce these hymns in a fashion that would be worthy of any of our listeners' time and enjoyment. So each of these CDs or cassettes will contain about 12 to 15 hymns, most of which were written either by Watchman Nee or Witness Lee, but in each edition there will be three or four that are classic hymns by people like Wesley or Count Zinzendorf, Margaret Barber, or Fanny Crosby. And I thought we would be remiss if we didn't point it out and maybe give our listeners a little sample. And so, Bob, we've selected a portion here, and if I can get Phil in the control room to cue it up, we will begin. And we picked one that off of this first CD in this series, and this particular CD is entitled The Name of Jesus is Our Stand, and it somewhat fits our fellowship today in that it touches the matter of the spiritual warfare. This is a hymn by Watchman Nee. Bob, I particularly enjoy this particular hymn. It's one of, I think, 15 on this CD. And you've had some involvement in this project. Let me get a little feedback reaction from you.
Well, Chris, I did participate a little bit in the singing of these hymns, and I can testify that when you sing these hymns that contain so much of the truth from God's Word and applied to our Christian experience, here's a hymn on the battle, the battle of the universe that we're involved in. And it's inspiring, it's uplifting, it's enlightening, it's encouraging. Yes. When I hear this hymn, when I sing this hymn, I get encouraged and strengthened to persevere, to go on. So we need this kind of hymns in our Christian life. We need the help of the proper hymns to uplift our vision, to encourage our hearts, even to minister life to us and supply us. It's a great thing the Lord has given us in these great hymns of the Christian faith.
Bob, we really determined in advance that we wanted to maintain a somewhat classical, traditional flavor to these hymns. We appreciate the Lord for all of the contemporary music that has come out, but we really feel that in the body of Christ there has become somewhat a lack of the solid food in many of the hymns. And so we really felt like this is an opportunity. It meets a need, and it gives us an opportunity to present the ministry that we appreciate in a fashion that probably most of our listeners did not know was even in existence. So another blessing and privilege for us to be involved in this project.
It really is, Chris. I really hope our listeners will get a copy of this album, and we'll listen to it again and again.
And Bob, I think we will just allow our listeners to listen to the conclusion of this very inspiring hymn. How about that?
Very good, Chris.